Let us pray. Oh Lord, we've just heard your word. A wonderful word that shares the reality of your presence. A word that asks hard questions. May we hear it with minds that not just understand, but are willing to struggle with it, to know what it means for us. And may we hear it with hearts that in the deep places of our lives know that it is the truth. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. A young lad had just gotten his driving permit. And he asked his father, who happened to be a minister, if they could discuss the use of the car. So Dad took him into his study and said, "I'll make a deal with you. You bring your grades up, you study the Bible a little, and you get your hair cut, and we'll talk about it." After about a month, the boy came back and again asked his father if they could discuss the use of the car. Into the study, he said, "Son, I've been real proud of you. You've brought your grades up, you've studied your Bible diligently, but you didn't get your hair cut." And the young man waited for a moment, then he replied, "Yeah, I know, Dad, but you know, I've been thinking about that. You know, Samson had long hair. Moses had long hair. Noah had long hair. Even Jesus had long hair." His father replied, "Yes, but they walked everywhere they went." Now, we can certainly applaud the dedication and the diligence of the son to get his grades up and to study the Bible. And we can also say that perhaps the father was a little too committed to his ideas of how things should be. Or maybe some of you think he was appropriately committed to his principles. How wonderful it is when we see people dedicated to something that is good. How wonderful it is to see people dedicated to their job or their family or their friends. And yet, it might seem that many of those old values like dedication and commitment and loyalty are dying a slow death as we read the news of the day. We have people who say that their companies are not dedicated to the employees. And you have corporate executives that say that the people aren't loyal to the company anymore. I think there's a little bit of both. It's kind of a chicken and egg sort of thing. And in many ways, this is where we pick up our passages from Exodus and Matthew, because they talk about dedication, commitment, and loyalty. In Exodus, we hear Moses say to God, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me." Another way, perhaps, that we can read this in our more modern day language would be, "Hey, you got me into this, God. You better go with me so that the people and I know you are real." Moses is basically asking God, how dedicated are you to this enterprise of leading the people to something new? Now, last week in chapter 32, we heard the golden calf incident. And God wanted to wipe out all of the people after that. And Moses had to talk God down, as it were. So now Moses is asking God if he's really in this thing, if God is really into this thing for the long haul. Now normally we would think that this was an appropriate question. But asking it of God might seem a little on the petulant side. But we have to remember that we have many centuries more experience of God's mighty acts than Moses did. And it is important to note that God thought it was an appropriate question as well. Because God then allowed Moses to see God's back as God passed by. Now, what Moses saw, we don't know. But whatever it was, it allowed Moses to feel that he had a connection with God. God was a real being that he was connected to. And that God would be there with him and for him. This past week in our book study, we talked about a statement made by Robert Morris in his book Wrestling with Grace that we're studying. That he writes, "The challenge is not getting God into our lives, but realizing that our lives are already in God." Let me say that again. The challenge is not getting God into our lives, but realizing that our lives are already in God. The 20th century theologian Paul Tillich described God as the ground of all being. All of life was rooted in God. And I think in essence the two are saying the same thing. And Moses needed to know that God was there in this soup we call life. And God proved to Moses and has proven to us that God is with us. Our lives are in God. God has been committed to humanity even to the point of sending the Spirit to us after we had nailed the Son of God to a tree. However, God's commitment to us demands that we must have that same commitment to intimacy with God as well. God's dedication demands a dedication on our part. And this is where we turn to our passage from Matthew. Now this passage, traditionally, is used to preach a stewardship sermon. What do you need to give to God in your life? But this passage, like stewardship, is about more than money. It's about our commitment to God. About our gifts to God, our being, the arms, the mouth, the feet, the legs of God. It's about our being part of God's connection with humanity. Now, we begin, and I think this is important to recognize. I'd never thought of it this way, but these two passages together this week made me think about it. We have to recognize that, like Moses, we have seen the back of God because we have seen Jesus. Jesus is the image of God that we can see and believe in. Christ, in Christ, we see the full likeness of God in human form. What does that mean? In a blog on this passage at the Sojourner's website, Enuma Okoro writes the following. If we give to God what belongs to God, then God is revealed in the world. The hungry are fed from the abundance of food at the disposal of the few. The naked are clothed by those who have two coats. The sick are cared for with adequate health insurance. And if we remember that God is sovereign, creator, and give God what is God, then those who ask of God what Moses asked will receive an answer. Now, where have we heard those kinds of thoughts before? When Jesus was in the synagogue, that was his job description as he laid it out. And that is ours as well as one of his followers. What are we willing to give to God? Are we willing to give to God our witness, talk to others about what God has done for us in our lives? Are we willing to tell people why we're a Christian? Are we willing to tell people why worshiping God is important to us? You know, we need to do that, not just for God's sake, but for this church's sake. Are we willing to put our money, our mouths and our faith in God's work through this community? Do we want to share with others what God has done for us in this family? These are important questions that demand our answers, because they speak to us about how committed we are to God, how committed we are to this church, and how committed we are to each other. What is Caesar's and what is God's in our life? Now, what is very interesting to note is that someone was able to produce a coin with Caesar's head on it in the temple, or that they would be crass enough to do that. Only temple money. Remember that when you came from the outside, you had to exchange your money from the outside, Caesar's money, for temple currency, because that was the only currency accepted in the temple. And here somebody hands him a denarius, a Roman coin with the image of Caesar Augustus on it. Or Tiberius Caesar. Probably it came from a Herodian who believed in good relationships with Rome, just as Herod was kind of a puppet for Rome. The Herodians were people that followed him and his ideas, and they got their power from that connection. The Pharisees, on the other hand, detested Rome and looked forward to the day when Rome would be run out of Jerusalem. But you know, politics makes strange bedfellows. And Jesus was a danger to both of them. He was the closest thing they could think of to a loose cannon. So they joined up to trick him and make him look bad to at least one group of the people, either the Herodians or the Pharisees. But he, smart as he was, threw their question back at them. And he throws it back on us as well. You determine where your priorities lie. You determine what belongs to Caesar, what belongs to the world, and what belongs to God. You can have an intimate relationship with God and, like Moses, see God in your life. Or you can rely on secular institutions to take care of you physically, mentally, and spiritually. Who or what are we dedicated to? That's the question for today. I'm glad to see he's here. Last spring, I was talking to Bruce. Now, what you may not know is that Bruce is our resident golf expert. He is the coach of the Roselle Park High School golf team. And I said to him, I would really like to go out and play golf with you so you can help me with my game a little bit. And he said right off the bat something to the effect of, okay, but you got to play every week. Now, I understand what he was saying. You have to be committed to get better. Now, while I'm playing a lot more than I did several years ago, I'm not playing enough to be considered dedicated. But you know, that's my decision. I play for fun and for exercise. And believe me, the way I play golf, I get a lot of exercise. I've made my choice. And golf is fun. It's something I enjoy doing and get a little annoyed at sometimes. But it's not a priority in my life. And Bruce's question or statement made me realize that. And I'm comfortable with that decision. Bertoldo di Giovanni is a name that most enthusiastic lovers of art are unlikely to recognize. He was a pupil of Donatello, the great sculptor of his time, and he was a teacher of Michelangelo, the greatest sculptor of all time, according to some. Now, Michelangelo was only 14 when he came to Bertoldo, but it was already obvious that he was enormously gifted. Bartolo was wise enough to realize that gifted people are often tempted to coast rather than to grow. And therefore, he kept trying to pressure his young prodigy to work seriously at his art. And one day, he came into the studio to find Michelangelo toying with a piece of sculpture far beneath his abilities. Bartolo grabbed a hammer, stomped across the room, and smashed the work into tiny pieces, shouting this unforgettable message: "Michelangelo, talent is cheap, dedication is costly." God, through Jesus, paid a high price to stay with us. And Jesus today challenges us to not coast, but to make God a priority in our life. A high priority. Are we going to do what it takes? Or do we just do lip service? How much are we willing to do for God? How much are we willing to give to God? God has already proven that God is dedicated to us. The gift of the Son and the Holy Spirit are proof of that. Now the question is on us. What is our answer? Amen.